Hey, I'm Miguel. My family and I just moved into 109.
Great, more immigrants.
Actually, we're from Riverside. But anyways, I was just wondering if you were having trouble with your water pressure, because I know our sink's being a little weird right now. And, oh, bottle's going to the blue bin.
Listen, menudo. I've lived in this shithole for over 10 years. The pipes don't work, the fountain's full of piss. And the only good thing about being here is I don't have to talk to anybody. So nice knowing you.
Okay, have a nice day.
Hello and welcome to episode 104 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. I'm your host, Greg, aka Captain Boomerang. And mercy is indeed for the week because at long last, after 2 years and an atrocious ripoff, the real Cobra Kai show is here for everybody. But before we dive into both seasons one and two of the show, let me introduce today's panel of soon-to-be karate masters. With two bottles of booze taped to his hands, he didn't join Cobra Kai to beat up teenagers, but he will as soon as he gets approved to be the new high school security guard. And now looking to flip the script, he's traded his old hairdo for a blue mohawk and a major heel turn. He's the super Jew Jared Rabinovitz.
Wait, I have enough hair for a mohawk?
Sure.
You wish.
Just on the bottom.
Yeah. Like just the reverse. Lohawk.
Yeah, there you go. Chin hawk.
Which is almost as douchey.
Yeah, well,
Stingray!
And the other voice you heard there, fresh from hanging televisions on the wrong wall, clipping bonsai trees, and filming karate commercials for his car emporium, he also calls bananas plantains, and his most hated moment of the entire series was when they flipped the mats from red to blue. But his new claim to fame will be when Jared paints that dick on his face. He's Mateo Morales.
That was an illegal kick to the face anyway, you know?
Yes.
Took an entire tournament with a kick to the face.
Yep, why not? So, obviously, this show's been a long time coming, but Cobra Kai has recently sort of taken the world by storm. First, it was on YouTube Red, but now it's basically been picked up by Netflix, and so it seems to have reached a much bigger audience. But it all started with the Karate Kid movies. So I'll start with you first, Mateo, because you're my age. Were you a fan of those movies?
How old was Jared when it first came out? I mean, what is that? Yeah. What year was it?
Negative two.
I think I might have been negative age.
Mm-hmm. So were you a fan of those movies as a kid, Matt?
I'm an American. What the hell do you think? Yes. It was, I don't think I can remember anything as poignant. I mean, I was a little kid that was in karate classes, taking Shotokan. My brother was working his way up his belt. He's 12 years older than me. He loved Karate Kid. I used to have to go to tournaments and fight and watch him fight. I just thought this was the greatest thing ever to happen when Karate Kid came out. All of them, except the ones we don't want to talk about.
Yeah. I was pretty much the same. Like, I was only a kid, but it was like, what is this movie? Like, holy shit, you know? Like, for me, like, because I saw it before Rocky, but like it really is like Rocky for kids, pretty much. Same director and very similar kind of, you know, underdog story in a way, but and especially with like the mentor characters, you know, you have Miyagi and Mickey and that kind of thing. So but yeah, I was wondering, Jared, like you weren't even born when the first Karate Kid movie came out. So what does it mean to you? Like, is it just some movie that you saw, like, eventually, you know, like Star Wars, for instance?
Sure.
You know, like, even I wasn't born when Star Wars came out, but it was like, oh yeah, but obviously I saw it as a kid, but it was that movie that came out sort of 2 years before I was born. So like, how does the Karate Kid franchise kind of sit in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, it only beat me by about 2 weeks, so it wasn't that far back. But yeah, I watched it was probably something that was on TV or something. You know, I feel like a lot of movies that we cover beat me as far as
you're right. 2 weeks when you're born in 86.
Yeah.
So 2 years
later.
What?
Yeah. Karate Kid's 84.
Oh, I'm looking at part two. That's why. Okay. Yeah.
Part two. Yeah. The further the it goes on, there's more that we don't discuss or talk about or even consider canon.
Yes. So it was definitely 2 years before. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong Wikipedia page. Didn't realize it. So I watched it. It was probably into the 90s at some point before I watched it. Mm-hmm. And it was just on TV, and I don't really remember. I remember all the stuff. Like, I remember, you know, paint the fence and, you know, wax on, wax off, all that stuff. I knew who they were, but it wasn't like a substantial portion of my childhood. When I was little, I did karate, and so I had watched it. But
did you know who Pat Morita was?
Not outside of being Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, that dude's awesome.
Yeah. I know who he is now. It's not like I don't know who, but yeah.
But, so, like, it wasn't like a movie where you'd be like, oh, that's one of my movies, you know what I mean? Like, for me as a kid, obviously, it was like there was a handful of movies you'd sort of put on all the time, and obviously Karate Kid was kind of one of them.
Yeah, I was more of a Three Ninjas kid.
Okay.
Oh, well, Lord.
Well, you know, listen, I understand the, you know, Tum Tum. That's where I relate to.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, as far as the show goes, I mean, it does, like, it brings back nostalgia, and it's like, oh, that's that, you know, they brought it back and all that kind of thing. But, like, for you, then I guess, Jared, it's kind of like, oh, it's just a continuation of those movies, you know what I mean? It's not, so do you get the kind of nostalgia
from it? Oh, yeah, I definitely get the nostalgia kick, and there's a lot of little things that you pick up watching it. It's not like I don't get the nostalgia, and, you know, even since I watched it, it's, you know, pushing 30 years, so it's not like it's something where I watched it, you know, a couple years ago all of a sudden. So no, I definitely get the nostalgia and all that, you know, the dirt bikes, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you'd be all over that. Yeah. Cool. Well, I mean
look, go ahead. As we set this down, you've got Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, nothing else exists. Right, the next Karate Kid?
Yeah,
and then there's a remake of the Karate Kid with Jackie Chan and the Smith Kid.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which that all plays into why this exists, right?
Well, I think so, because they did that, like the Karate Kid with what's his name, Jaden Smith, and Jackie Chan, like you said, which was actually like. I didn't think it was really that good, but it was better than I was expecting it to be. But my only thing with that movie was they go out of their way in that movie to not use the term karate. Like, everything they do goes, oh, what's that? Is that karate? He goes, no, it's kung fu.
It's kung fu. Oh,
it's not. This isn't karate. We're doing this in kung fu. The fucking movie is called Karate Kid. So, like, call it the Kung Fu Kid and be like, okay, this is the new version, Greg, of it, to be a bit.
You remember who starred in The Mexican? Brad Pitt.
But The Mexican was not a person.
That's an official talking point of Mateo's team. A Mexican is not a person.
No, the Mexican in that movie is not a person.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm just saying from Mateo's perspective.
Are we allowed to say what happened earlier today?
No,
oh, okay.
No.
We're not going to cite time this in the entire thing? Okay.
No.
I will not defend that comment or deny that comment because Jared took the low road for a second.
Yeah, the low road. I took the comedy
much,
road.
Much right. Like the Will Smith and his brother-in-law did when they decided to executive produce this show.
Well, I think so one thing to emphasize, and they actually touched on this in Cobra Kai, when we were talking about Karate Kid, right around that time was also a big time for MMA. You know, 2010 was probably right around the peak, I feel like, of some MMA stuff. You're coming on the heels of Ultimate Fighter stuff. There was a big focus at that point about the different styles. You know, when you have Kung Fu, you have Taekwondo, you have Jiu-Jitsu, you have all the elements of different martial arts. So when they were saying, oh, it's Kung Fu, it's not, the getting it under the umbrella was a, different thing. And I know the movie title is Karate Kid, but I think they were trying to talk about that.
They were trying to cash in on the name, the Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi and all that, but they were like, oh no, it's different. It's fresh and new. It's not, this isn't your father's Karate Kid. It's
there was also, I remember at the time it came back, you know, that there was some backlash to using the term of karate as a whole, that when you use it that way, you're not talking about, you know, the specific disciplines or whatever. Oh, it was one of those stupid things where people argue about the specific terminology and.
You want to talk about that? Talk about the fact that it's called the All Valley Karate Tournament, and I clearly saw Taekwondo kids in that scene. And isn't there a scene where he's on the mat fighting a capoeira, a capoeirista?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a second, time out. I've seen a lot of karate tournaments.
But that was in 84. It was all, I guess, like to your point, Jared, back then, like anything with punchy, kicky, you know, chopping wood with your hand, it was all karate.
Yeah,
like, see, and that's why Jared's side of the line thinks that all brown people are like Hispanic, even though there's Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and Mexicans and Cubans. It's all not all karate.
That's what I'm saying. You're arguing against what I'm saying. I just said the same thing. I said it's not the specific disciplines. They're putting it under umbrella term. Well, that's not what it is. Because, like, I remember when I was a kid, I took Taekwondo. I didn't take karate.
Of course you did. You would totally be a TKD kid.
Do you think I knew the fucking difference at 6 years old?
Did boards and pieces of wood come flying at you in your daily basis that you had to learn how to break them?
Yes. Have you met my family?
Oh, true. I'll take that back. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as the show goes, they did bring it back, and I think everyone was pretty much wrapped with that first trailer. It's like, oh shit, okay, this looks cool, like I hope it's good. But generally the feedback from people seems pretty positive. But I think they've done it. My main thing was when it started, they used like flashbacks to the original film pretty much in a perfect way, you know what I mean? Like, we'll get into the characters in that after, but like that first episode where Johnny's kind of like at his lowest point, he gets in his car and he drives off, you know, and like throughout the series he continually talks about like Rocky III, like, oh, we went to Rocky III and we did this, and oh, don't be a pussy, like in Rocky III, you know. But that original montage of him driving his car through the streets and flashbacking to the movies and the tournament and losing, and then like Ali's in there and all this, that's straight out of like Rocky IV when Apollo, spoilers, Apollo dies and Rocky gets in his car, which is the same type of car pretty much as well.
And the same and driving like, beat.
Yeah. And the cheesy music and the whatever. And it's the same sort of thing. So like that had to be intentional, but those kinds of things where it was like, they don't try to sort of, and this is what I've told people who were like, oh, I don't really know if I want to watch it. New stuff, they try and bring it back and that never works as well. I'm like, yeah, but this show doesn't seem to be trying to ignore or gloss over those movies. It's just like, oh no, all that stuff happened and we'll show you like clips of it. And you're like, all right, great.
And it doesn't even nearly attempt to be highbrow or like retrospective at all. It just goes for it.
Yeah, it's just, this is what happened 30 years ago. And every now and then a character's like, oh yeah, this happened and blah, 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 blah. And they show you quick little snippets of it. And from different points of view as well, which is interesting, but we'll get to that as well. So like Jared, though, I was wondering with, like we said, you watching the show from the beginning when it kicks off and we see Johnny Lawrence and he's this deadbeat kind of guy, like his work life is shit and his personal life is down the toilet and all that. How do you think they did a good job like kind of showing us his life at the moment from his perspective, especially considering that every 5 minutes he sees a billboard for Daniel LaRusso or he hears him on the radio or he sees a TV commercial and it just keeps reminding him of like that one time I got kicked in the face and sort of lost everything.
Yeah, but I think that fits with, you know, something we've seen. It's a lot of movies. It's, you know, really, if you look at life, it's the kids who are really popular and cool in high school generally aren't doing that much with their lives now. I mean, the whole nerds rule the world thing, you know, is kind of, you know, come true. So guys like that who, you know, they were the spoiled rich kid, the Mr. Popular, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe their academics weren't so great, and now it's showing, you know. So I like them doing that. You know, he didn't seem like, you know, when you watch the original Karate Kid movie, it's not like he seems like he's a bright guy who's, you know, future is going to be, you know, computer scientist or whatever. He's, you know,
he's like spoiled rich kid type.
Yeah, it is
spoiled rich kid. In the movie, that's what you assume from the movie.
Yeah, he's kind of a jock, not, you know, not the typical football jock, but it's basically the same thing. You know, he's in the same position, just from karate. So it's, you know, one of those things where it fits well with kind of what we've seen as a society and kind of how things progress. And the whole, it's just constantly gnawing at him that Daniel's, you know, famous, and he's using the whole, the 1984 All Valley Tournament.
As, two-time champion, and he's doing all the karate ads with, like, chopping
and that's his whole gimmick, you know. You get it. And then I do like that it kind of, you know, trying to just, like, you know, he just stole my girl and he kicked me in the face illegally and now he's famous. I thought that was good. And just, you know, down on his luck, it kind of puts you in a mind frame of he's get, you know, you immediately go from he's the asshole to there's a sympathetic character there. And that was something that was going to be important for the show, is could you get that? Could you get to that point?
He is literally that guy that peaked in high school, like you said.
Yeah.
And he's completely stuck in 1985. Like, his life got to that point and then went, oh shit, I'm not the popular karate guy anymore. And in, you know, the early scenes of Karate Kid 2 where Kreese, you know, is choking him out and Miyagi, like, you know, stops it and all that kind of thing. You're like, oh shit, all right. But then that's it. That's the last we see of him, is when they sort of leave that scene. But, like, he's absolutely stuck in the 80s. Like, his music, his car, general technology stuff. Like, he doesn't know how to use a computer. He doesn't know what a smartphone is, all that kind of shit. So now, not only is he kind of this sympathetic ex-villain, really, he's also kind of this, like, fish out of water. Because now you it's almost as if, like, he skipped over 30 years and you've dropped him into, you know, it's a bit like, it's not a time travel story, but, you know, in that aspect, it kind of is, because we're looking at him going, how do you not know what, you know, like, a smartphone is and how to connect to the internet and, you know, all that. But yeah, so I think they did a good job with that, because he's out of his element, but he's still likable, you know, like, they, from the start, you're not sort of watching him as a villain from the very get-go, because you see him on the floor and he gets fired from his job and things like that. So straight away, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, let's see where it goes.
Yeah, and you have getting hit, his car getting totaled, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Totaled, yeah, like, they literally drop a world of shit on him right from the start. So you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe he's not such a dick. And he was, and we already know he was kind of turned into that sort of Cobra Kai villain type of thing, because that's what, at the end of the even at the end of the first movie, he doesn't want to, like, sweep the leg, you know, like, he doesn't want to do it, but he does it because Kreese makes him. And at the end, he gives Daniel the trophy, like, he's, you're all right, LaRusso, you know, like, it's fine, don't worry about it. And then, of course, the scene in part two where Kreese kind of turns on him all. So but I mean, as far as this whole, I do want to address this kind of narrative thing that sort of I hear on the internet and stuff all the time, of this, like, Daniel LaRusso is the real villain of the Karate Kid, like, bullshit, because Johnny's recount of the movie does help in the show, does help paint Daniel as a villain, right? But he's wrong, because you're only seeing selected snippets of that scene on the beach. So Johnny, like, you watch that again, because Johnny 100% starts all that shit. He takes the radio, he smashes it, he slams it into Daniel, and then, like, kicks the shit out of Daniel. And then Daniel does get the sucker punch in. I'll give him that. But that's after he's had the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
So this narrative that Daniel is the villain was started on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
As a joke by the Barney character, who is a fucking idiot. And so you're not meant to go with it. But of course, hipster fuckwits have took it and run with it as if it's, like, this legit thing. So 9 times out of 10, right, you hear someone say, Daniel's actually the villain of that show, they either misremember the movie or they're trying to be, like, edgy.
That's, you know what, that's like one of my favorite episodes of How I Met Your Mother with Barney.
Oh, it's great because it's NPH, funny. Because it's
NPH is the best anyway. Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah. Shout out. Absolutely.
Who is William Zabka? Who is William Zabka? The true hero of Karate Kid. And I'm like, what?
But that's the thing. So you got all these people now that are like, oh, yeah, that's actually right. It's like, no, watch the movie again. It's one of those things where it's like,
but
it's
come cool on, to say that. You wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt if you look at his side. That's the beauty of Cobra Kai. Like,
yeah,
hey,
no, that's good. I like that idea.
He had a
crap
upbringing.
I like that they show it from his point of view, but he's still wrong. You know, but that's what he thinks, so that's fine. But this,
but
this
Daniel couldn't leave well enough alone.
He's actually a villain. No, it's what? Like they gang up on him and beat the shit out of him constantly. Like this whole thing of like, oh, he, you know,
ask Jared. Jared sounds like he was bullied as a kid. Jared, how do you see? How do you see it? I'm pro Johnny Lawrence, and yeah, Greg is pro LaRusso.
I like Johnny Lawrence in the movie. I'm just saying this new narrative of like Daniel's the villain in that movie. He did it. He starts all the shit, and Johnny didn't do anything. It's bullshit. It's clearly not real. It's not real because it's in the movie. You can see that it's
it takes two to tango, though, man.
Yeah, but you got to start.
That's the thing. Is the whole thing is that neither of them were perfectly okay. Daniel LaRusso is not the villain. That's a bad take.
He's not perfect human being either. Yeah.
But that Johnny is pure villain and has no redeeming qualities is also not true, because like we said, he didn't want to sweep the leg. He gave him the trophy at the end. Kreese was the true villain. Like, oh, yeah. And you gotta remember, LaRusso did also, you know, dump the water over his head while he's trying to sit in the bathroom and smoke a joint. You know, yeah. There are things they wasted good weed, you know.
But that's all after, like, that's afterwards, you know. It's Palestine, Israel, whatever.
It's a continuing escalating feud that, you know, there's really nobody who was completely innocent in this. The original beach thing, yeah, Johnny was the fucking asshole. He came up, he, you know, was harassing a woman. Yeah, you're being a dick. But, you know, it, from there, it just kind of escalated.
But that's where it started.
He just wanted to talk. Why, remember what he said? Come on, Allie, we just want to talk.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Funk.
What's your problem?
Exactly. He broke a radio. And then he pushed it into Daniel, so... But yeah, I just wanted to get that out there because it annoys the shit out of me of this, like I said, this hipster fucking thing of like, well, actually, it's like, no, you're wrong. Actually, watch the movie and you might have an opinion on it.
Just to watch
like
all
I said,
of them.
Yeah, the first two, and I would leave it at that. Just let Three's go. All right. Three's all right, but I'd one and two, I'd leave it there. But of course, like we said, there is two sides to every story, and Daniel LaRusso is the other side of that. Is there any surprise that he parlayed his karate championships into a successful car dealership? Because is that the kind of thing that someone would do from the 80s, past glory? What can I do? He's cleaned a lot of cars for Mr. Miyagi, so he probably picked up a few things.
You apparently, Greg, have never seen John Elway Motors in Denver. John Elway Chevrolet, John Elway Ford, John Elway Volvo.
I have seen like, you know, cheesy commercials of like, hi, remember me? I'm this guy from that one thing from 30 years ago. You know, like,
well, Australia doesn't have footballers that have opened up like insurance agencies or anything?
A little, not to the same degree,
no.
Really. Like, but
every major city in America has someone who did something once. Who then turned it into an insurance company, a car dealership, a bar. What else is Jared? What other big things? Toby Keith has a Western dance place. What else?
There's a whole bunch of shit like that. Like,
do you think it fits Daniel? Like grown up Daniel, this is what he became type of thing?
Yeah, I think that does. I mean, I don't know that he's ever struck me as somebody who'd be good as a car salesman, just the way his personality was in the original movies. Like, but at the same time, it kind of plays to maybe he is a little bit of an asshole because those guys are usually pretty underhanded.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it does the show did a good job because I was worried that, oh, they are going to lean into this whole, like, Daniel is the real piece of shit type of thing. But they played it pretty evenly, I felt, you know? Like, it's, like, you don't see him for a little bit in the first episode, then, like, apart from, like, the TV commercials and the billboards and stuff like that. So he is kind of painted as this, like, villain in Johnny's eyes. And then, but then when he turns up, you know, because he's got to get his car back because the kids smash into it and all that kind of stuff, you do see Daniel as kind of this like cocky prick a little bit, you know, where he's like, well, technically I kicked his face, you know, this kind of thing. You're like, all right, you're a bit of a dick. But I think they do, it's almost a bit like, well, the fame and his success has kind of gone to his head a little bit. So like now, like that, like 55-year-old Daniel LaRusso or whatever is very different than the teenager that we saw in the movies. So
yeah, it's a role reversal. That's the whole point of this, is the role reversal.
Yeah, Johnny is now the underdog as opposed to the rich guy who is Daniel is now the rich guy. But I mean, as far as like Ralph Macchio goes, I know he's not in like a lot of stuff, but like this is some of the like better acting I've seen from him personally as well. Like, he's not bad in those movies, but this is, you know.
It's the only role he could play, though, Greg. Like, that's the thing. Would you accept either one? Well, no. Zabka's done was in, like, Hot Tub Time Machine. He did that. But basically, would you accept either one of them in any other role?
Well, it was My Cousin Vinny and Stay Gold, Pony Boy. Come on.
You still think it's like, oh, man, check out Karate Kid. He's playing another role.
I mean, yeah. if you look at most of his IMDb, like, there's really not much other than that anybody would recognize other than the Karate Kid movies and a bunch of appearances on TV shows as himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Entourage.
Oh, no, but I just think, like, for this season, like, they actually gave him, I mean, it's not, like, A-level class one, you know, top of the hill bloody acting by any means, but I just think, in general, like, he's there's some scenes, especially in season two, where I thought, like, okay, like he did a good job there. So,
well, yeah, he's not bad. It's just this is his role. It's what he does. I mean, I don't know that if you asked him to play anybody other than this, like if it was some other show, he could do it.
Yeah, he's not gonna like the new Joker is Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, which is basically it's like. Which basically implies that the way he played Daniel LaRusso was really just his personality with some tweaks. It's not like he's having to go too far outside himself to play the role.
No. I will say, though, the one thing I thought was a bit lame was, like, you know how he's kind of left karate behind and it's only because he sees that Cobra Kai gets started up again. He's like, oh, this isn't right. He's talking to his wife. And he goes into the, like, competitor's dealership and they're giving him shit and all that, and he's doing the tree, like, it's not the bonsai tree, it's some other tree, and he's like, that's my thing, like, you know. And as he's walking out, he's like, oh, you can see in his head, I'll show this guy, and he does the spin kick and kicks the coffee out of his hand, like, that kick was piss weak. I was like, really? Like, his knee is bent and everything, he gets it about 3 feet off the ground. I'm like, fuck, I could do that now, like, not, you know. So then he walks out as if, like, I fucking showed him I'm the Karate Kid, motherfucker. And it's like, dude, like, I don't know if that was meant to be, like, holy shit, like, he still got it, or whether it was meant to be, like, okay,
I hope not.
That's pretty impressive for, like, because a guy that hasn't done karate for 20 years.
But yeah, but Zabka does. Zabka looks like he's got it together and Ralph Macchio does not look like he has it together.
Well, in comparison, when Johnny beats the shit out of the kids, at first, you know, he pulls a hammy or whatever when he does a jump kick. But that's fine, you know. But then he does, like, he kind of, you know, flips the guy over and he's dropping kicks and punches. It's all a bit slow motion. You can see the kind of stuntman timing a little bit with the guys running at him and stuff. But I mean, these are like massive, massive nitpicks. Like, you'd have to be a dick to really be like,
I think it makes it even more fun.
But you know, he still looks like he can do karate, whether it's real or not, you know? But yeah, just that one. And Daniel does too later. It gets better. But like that first kick, it was meant to be this mammoth thing of like, wow. And I was just like, really? That looked
I don't think it was supposed to be wow, because I think it was like, oh my God, this, you know, 45-year-old dude is spin kicking coffee cups. Well, like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, I think the absurdity of it was part of it. I don't think they ever expected it to be, oh, he's still good at karate. No, I think it was just, why? This is how you're settling disputes at this age? Come on now.
Yeah, it is a bit of both characters. There is a lot of sort of like regression, and one of the themes is, you know, you can't move on from the past and things like that, which they do really well. But I think we'll get into it later. But I think the way that both characters kind of their story arcs and the paths they travel down, I think they've done it really well. I do want to quickly mention the music. Like in general, I think the music was pretty good for this kind of show. Reusing a lot of the songs from the movie is clever in different things, you know, like some of the love songs and some of the pop rock and stuff like that. But like, no, you're the best around. Like, come on, that is the Karate Kid song, and
that is, so good.
I feel like they're saving that for something. Like, they're waiting for a moment to use that.
I thought they were going to use it in the tournament at the end of season one, when, you know, Miguel is fighting, and it's almost like an ironic kind of thing. It's like, this is the Karate Kid song, and it's
when it comes to music, you know? When it comes to music, though, man, that line about, sir, we can't use Thunderstruck. We don't have the license. We don't own it. I got it in the cassette in my car. That was so great.
I like
that. Having no idea about music licensing or anything.
Yeah, it's
like
in
that.
My car. I own it. It's fine.
So in general, are you guys both pretty happy with the show?
I am. And if we want to talk karate, though, we got to have to jump to the kids. Some of these kids were pulling off.
We'll get to them. I've got that lined up. Yeah. But just in general, like, is there, do you think the praise for the show is warranted?
Oh, yeah. It's a fun show. So Sam originally wasn't going to watch it with me. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching it, and she was just kind of, she had been waiting. She's like, okay, I kind of want to watch this. How about another episode? So it gets people who don't really have the attraction to Karate Kid into it too. So it's well done. It's fun. You know, I think you're definitely seeing it. Not many people talked about it when it was on YouTube, because YouTube it's not a platform.
We tried to.
Yeah. but it's not a platform that was accessible really for people. So it didn't get any sort of cultural traction, which, as soon as it hit Netflix, you started seeing people talking about it. And I think part of the reason why YouTube didn't get to a third season was because they didn't have the viewers. Now Netflix it's a whole different thing.
Now I can see it being, obviously they're doing season three, but I can, all things being equal with being able to film stuff and things like that, I can see them doing 4 or 5, you know, potentially 6 seasons, because they're only short episodes. They're only half hour episodes. There's only 10, depending on where, you know, they go. But yeah, I don't think it's got long-term prospects, as in like it's going to be like the Big Bang Theory and go on forever or any of this sort of stuff, but like I think probably 5, I think they'll get 5 out of it.
This show is popcorn, guys. If somebody tells you, hey, I want you to buy this popcorn, you're like, I don't think so. But if somebody puts a free bowl of popcorn in front of you that you've already paid for, like Netflix, you're like, I'm already paying for it, why not? That's the ease of entry. Like, here, we're just gonna,
is actually why Sam likes Mateo. Mateo provides popcorn for her.
I always give her popcorn. If it wasn't free, she probably wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. It is that kind of show as well, where you can kind of turn your brain off and just watch it, and then you go, all right, some of the fight scenes are a bit, all right, and some of the acting's a bit, okay. But I mean, like, who cares? It's just like you said, Jared, it's just a fun show. But yeah, I mean,
it doesn't need to be high art to be enjoyed.
That's right.
It ties into the nostalgia, but it stands on its own as well. Because like Sam didn't remember anything with Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But she still enjoyed watching this. And we went back last night and we actually watched Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2.
Oh, cool.
For the first time in who knows how long. But it stands on its own. It's good.
Okay, so another major point of the show, which they kind of had to address, but I mean, what else could they do, is Mr. Miyagi. One of the two greatest mentor characters in movies, as far as I can tell, like with Miyagi and, you know, Mickey from the Rocky series. But of course, Mr. Miyagi now in this show is dead. But I mean, so is Pat Morita. So what else are they going to do? But I think it worked for the show. But I was wondering, like, Mateo, do you think it helps add like this extra layer for Daniel's character? Because now he's trying to like honor and live up to the sort of greatness of his teacher type of thing. But and you see how some of it weighs on him when he's like, well, he's not as good as Mr. Miyagi. It's like, yeah, but no one is.
That trope, though, is part of what I love about this show. All they're doing is just copying tropes from every other place to bring them all back in. And the Lost Warrior comes right out of like the term of like Ronin and the whole mystique of the warrior who's been built but who no longer has his master. Right? That's like Miyamoto Musashi. There's like a ton of like Akira Kurosawa films. All of that. What happens to the warrior when he no longer has someone guiding him and he becomes the guide? I loved it. I love it because there was no seriousness without that.
Yeah. Right? You do. And like you do have that kind of the weight of the movies then.
And also
like brought forward to the show because you're like, ah, oh, Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. You know,
really, Johnny and Daniel are a proxy war between the Kreese and Mr. Miyagi, right? They're really the ones who are at war with each other. They're two different sensibilities about the world. And these boys ends up being the pawns in their war. Because Miyagi really hates what Kreese stands for.
Yeah, but he doesn't, like he was even... He's against the tournaments and all this. He's like, you don't fight for competition and all this kind of stuff. It's only really sort of like, oh, well, all right. They're not going to leave you alone unless you beat them up in the tournament.
Was that Karate Kid 2 or was that?
No, that's the first one. Even the first one, he doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to fight.
Well, he doesn't really. It's only eventually when they go there and the poster's on the wall and he's like, fight a tournament, you know, like this sort of shit. They're like, oh, all right. But then after that, he's like, well, that was just so that they would respect you kind of thing and leave you alone. Whereas like now you don't need to then fight in the second tournament and shit like that. But I thought like, for instance, when Mr. Miyagi's like Medal of Honor, is it Medal of Honor or Medal of Valor?
Yeah. The Congressional Medal of Honor.
There you go. I didn't want to fuck that up. But Valor. Anyway,
I thought it was Valor.
His medal that gets stolen. The way that like Daniel reacts to that, I thought was pretty good. Like that was, you know, like he's really heartbroken over that kind of shit. And it's like, this is not right. Like, you don't fucking do this kind of shit, you know, like, so that was cool. That was another highlight for Macchio, I thought. And just in general, how it's like, you can see him trying to part like, all right, you want to do karate? Well, you go paint my fence first and wax these cars and shit like that. And you can see that some of the kids are like, this is bullshit. Fuck this. But then that's what Daniel was like in the movie as well, you know, until he had to sort of put it all together and he started doing the blocking and all that shit, like wax on, wax off, paint the fence, all that kind of shit. Like the muscle memory kicked in.
But that was such a great part of this show that it was so self-referential. Mm-hmm. That every time he's like, oh, I love this part. When the kids are finally like, I'm sore from doing all these chores.
Yeah.
Like the crossover part. They fully accepted, like, we're just going to do this movie. We're just going to do this entire trope all over again. We're not going to change anything. The formula is exactly the same. You're getting the same meal again. Just hang on.
But it's kind of meta because they acknowledge that they're just doing it. So it's... You know, in the show, they not. Yeah, we're just doing the same thing again. We're not even pretending.
Yeah, and
they played that part up for laughs. So it's not like, oh, the scriptwriters were lazy. They're doing it. It's like, oh no, we know we're doing it, and we're doing it because it's funny. Like in this context, to watch the same thing. So
and plus, like you said, there would be people that hadn't watched the movies that have just watched the show, and especially like the younger kids. You know, like they wouldn't have watched the movies.
My question is why? It and,
you know.
Why would you?
It's just the way it is these days, I think. There's people that watched Endgame without having seen fucking Iron Man or Thor or Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, they all don't understand what's going on. It's like, no, you don't, because you have to watch other things first.
But that's why when they did the clips and stuff like that,
yeah,
you got enough of it from this show.
Yeah, I think you could go in cold and still be.
And that's really what Sam did. I mean, Sam was really kind of like, she had seen it, she just didn't remember it. Like, it's,
yeah, but think about how so much of this show is so referential that you're just gonna miss more than 50% of the jokes if you didn't watch.
I don't think it's that high. I think there's a solid percentage, yes, but so much of the rest of it is just funny in the context that you're fine.
Yeah, I don't think you miss anything from not having not seen the movies, but I think you do get more out of it if you have. So I think you can get away with just watching the show, but by all means, if you want the full effect and, you know, the references and even more of the pre-character development before you see them in the show, like, obviously, you know, watch the movie. Like, things where they talk about Allie and stuff like that, like, you'd sort of be like, what? Oh, all right, who cares?
But that's kind of like Mandalorian is something similar, in which you can watch Mandalorian and it's a good show without having seen Star Wars.
Yeah, I think so.
You appreciate it more if you have.
Yeah.
But it's not, you're not going to be like totally lost and confused.
Yeah, that's
right. You can't get to the hype of the top of season one when you get to the tournament without having watched Karate Kid. I mean, you can't enjoy that entire sequence without it, including my favorite part of, they don't know what they're, well.
Yeah.
When everyone else is laughing and you're not. Come on.
Yeah, but are people watching it in big groups?
Yeah. You know?
Well, they're not now.
There's your COVID. But that's your COVID aside there. Then no, they're not.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were watching it a ton when it was on YouTube. So this is one of those things where I think you're reading too much into it because of your perspective on it, Mateo, where your enjoyment of the original movie provided so much extra to this. You're missing that it's perfectly fine for somebody who.
You hit on that, and then you're hitting on that moment that was the best part of season one, is when he's hurt in the locker room, and the hands come together.
Yeah,
I stood up from my couch and I was like, "Yes, he's gonna do it," and he screwed us.
That was good though, because that was always a bit of what, you know. But I like that. It's like, but that was again. It's like. Daniel's like, all right, you know, medic, you know, but like,
medic,
because he's not Mr. Miyagi, he can't do that shit. So he's like, no, I'll get some help for you, you know. It's like, yeah,
they even do that. The music even warms up like it's about to happen, say, and you're like, oh,
yeah. I did cringe at the part where, you know, the first movie, and they're like, okay, and they're going to give the trophy to Johnny because Daniel's hurt and he can't fight. And they're like, Daniel LaRusso's going to fight. Oh, Daniel LaRusso's going to fight. And he runs out and off they go. And then in this one, they're like, Daniel LaRusso's going to coach. He's going to coach. I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, fuck you, show. Like, that's, I was just like, that's dumb. But whatever. Again,
but nitpick. Dumb works when you're okay being dumb. If you start out,
thank you, Mr. President.
If you start out that way, no one's expecting you to go any further.
Well, that's true. But there is just a fun thing. But I was just like, oh, what the fuck? Like, all right. Before we get going as well, I want to do a quick shout out to, was it, how do you pronounce it? Is it Diora? Diora Baird? Bard?
Which one?
Whatever her name is. She's Robbie's mother in the show.
Oh, where does she come from?
Diora Baird. I'm going with that. Anyway, because I thought it was interesting because she is also in Hot Tub Time Machine with William Zabka. So I thought that was funny that they were in that movie together and now they're in the show together.
But didn't Zabka also do some production work for Hot Tub Time Machine?
Oh,
so there's a good possibility that he's just pulling over people that he... This looks...
I just thought it was funny of like of all the things, like of the three or four things that he's in, they're in another show together. Yeah. So
did I loved Mrs. LaRusso coming back.
Oh, the mom? Yeah.
The way she just rails on his wife, it warmed my heart. Oh my God.
Yeah, we always have to host Thanksgiving. Yeah, but you just get catering or whatever. It's like, yeah. You know? But that was good because that helped in their series, that helped sort of bring Daniel back a bit to kind of how he was, because it was like he's living the high life with all his money and his car emporiums and this kind of shit. And then his mother comes in, and when his wife even says, like, oh, did you, you know, do you think it's that's cool going being the chaperone for your daughter's date? And he's like, my mother used to drive me on dates, and I had to, yeah, to push the car and all that, which you do remember from the movie and stuff.
Yeah, so, Lucille LaRusso. What?
Yeah, but she's like this poor working single mother and built up at least Daniel enough for him to be successful the way he is now. So I like that kind of brought him back down to remembering his roots type of thing, which I think helps the character.
What is funny is that her role in this movie, his mom, it's like, yep, that goes exactly back to what my mom says. The difference between Italian mothers and Jewish mothers is the religion.
Totally.
It's the totally. It's the same thing. Oh,
so,
that.
Oh, man, it was rough watching that.
But basically, yeah, before we get onto the sort of new generation of Karate Kids, the two major themes of the show seem to be obviously the younger characters coming of age and the old school rivalry of Daniel and Johnny. And their sort of reluctance to let go of the past and things like that. Do you think that it's kind of started after two seasons of it, the whole rivalry with Daniel and Johnny is kind of getting a little bit stale? Do you think they almost need to go in a different direction now?
Well, I'm curious with the end of season two, the way it is how that will play in the rivalry, you know, with the tragedy there and how that plays. You know, there's still the whole, you know, Daniel's taking in, you know, Johnny's kid. That's still a tough pill to swallow regardless. But I think you see more of them maybe, you know, teaming up to try to figure out some way to get Kreese out of there and stop letting him affect the kids. And, you know, look at all the pain that he's caused. You'll recognize he's the true villain. I think the scene at the Mexican restaurant where they're basically being the same person, you know, they're at different ends of the financial spectrum, but they're basically the same person at the restaurant as far as ordering and dealing with the waitress and dancing. I thought that was one of those where they started to soften their relationship.
Yeah, it was almost like they were almost friends there, and then it kind of went to hell after that. But yeah.
But I think Jared's right. I think it's pointing at what happens next. Are we going to make predictions, season three predictions right now?
We'll do it at the end, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where that goes. Like, what's going to happen next between the relationship is definitely a season three prediction.
Yeah. Well, we'll look at the next generation, like we said. How do you think the coming of age stuff kind of works for you guys, being that we are not teenagers watching the show and sort of empathizing with them on that level? But obviously there's a million movies that we all saw with the same kind of storylines and things like that. Do you think these characters are sort of compelling enough?
I think so. I dig a lot of the bounce back and forth, and I got to jump into it, is that I was really more impressed with their level of skills. It seemed to me like they found kids who can do karate and then hope they could act. Right, which is not a bad move, right? You're like, we're going to want these kids to bounce around a little bit. They're going to have to take a punch and a kick, and let's see if they can do that. They found the right kind of characters with the right I like the immigrant family aspect with Miguel. I like the fact that it's not a son for Daniel LaRusso. It's a daughter. They had to like kind of cut and weave this whole pattern together. I think they did it right. I don't think there's any character among the young set that I don't especially like. I even like the little kid that gets the crap kicked out of him, Bert.
The little blonde kid. Yeah.
And yeah, I especially love Hawk.
Oh yeah. Yeah, him going from this shy, you know,
Eli Moskowitz.
Yeah, self-conscious kid, because obviously he's got the is it the hair lip scar or whatever?
Yeah, he's got a facial deformity. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a scar on his lip. And even when he turns up to Cobra Kai to get like confidence and to feel better about himself, Johnny just rips him a new asshole. Like, not really meaning to, just being Johnny. But then he leaves and comes back and, like he says, oh, flipping the script, and he's got the blue mohawk, and he ends up, it probably goes a bit overboard with the fact that, like, he goes and gets like this massive back tattoo out of nowhere, but like, okay, we'll just pretend that that's a thing, but all right, whatever. But then his, like, his turn throughout the two seasons is done really well, I think, because, like, he gets more confident and you're like, okay, he's tougher, but he's kind of being a dick. But then season two, he goes like almost way off the rails and becomes like full bully.
And he's ripped.
Yeah.
he's going to be a villain of season three. I mean,
if we're going that route, he's got to stick with Kreese.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing at the end. I mean, we'll get to it at the end, of course, but he is there sort of with, he's been the one through the whole series of sort of being like, I don't know if this is right. Like, why are we doing this? And then when Johnny kind of softens a little bit and he's like, I was teaching you a little bit too harshly about mercy and things like that. Miguel and that are kind of like, yeah, a little bit. Cause they were like that at the start originally too. They were sort of telling Johnny, like, maybe you should lighten up a bit. But then Hawk is like, fuck this. Like, no mercy. You know, like he's fully embraced.
He got it though.
Yeah. He's almost like the Butch character from the movies, who, again, we'll get into it later, but he's the one Cobra Kai we don't see again. But the blonde haired guy that's gonna fight Daniel in the change rooms and that, he's kind of like the full on almost psychopath version. And so Hawk almost kind of is becoming that level of actual villain as opposed to just disgruntled,
because, you know, he's the only one that didn't have a life outside of the dojo.
Yeah,
he had any air he was gonna breathe or any life he was gonna have came from that. The rest of them had some type of anchor outside of the mark, and he pushed away his anchor, which is the Dimitri kid, which is really, that was an interesting way to play the two of them. It takes the camera off of the main storyline.
Yeah. Originally I had it like for my notes from season one that I dug up from when I watched it years ago. I was like, kids are good. This kid does this kid fine. And I was like, I couldn't think of the Dimitri's name at the time. And I just remember thinking like, the school friend is shit. Like, I don't need to see him anymore. But season two kind of turned it around a little bit for him, I feel. So
I think that role is the most complicated to play, I think, where the rest of them kind of can have clear motivations and ties to other people. He's got the hardest path. You know, his dad is Johnny, and he's had a rough life. His mom's kind of a whore.
but still hot as fuck.
Not so kind of.
Yeah. But so he's dealing with that. He's put into these settings where he's got the friends who were trying to rob LaRusso, and he's, you know, a con man, but then, you know, he kind of has to soften but still hold the edge enough that with what we see in season two, you know, that show of no mercy comes through. The whole thing, that is the most complex role. Like, he's got to balance so much there. And I think that character is actually really well done.
Yeah, that was when the show started. That was the character that I initially, like, when he arrives in the show, that I was thought would be terrible. And I thought, like, oh, okay, like you said, there's this troubled kid, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he wants to do the right thing, but he's, you know, he is kind of easily manipulated, whether it's good or bad, because he's manipulated by the criminal guys for a while, but then he starts to get manipulated by LaRusso. Like, not, Daniel's not sort of doing it on purpose, I don't think, but he does kind of, like, Robbie seems to be whatever the people around him are, you know what I mean? But then, yeah, he still has that sort of complex nature to his character, because when he could have given Mr. Miyagi's medal back to Samantha and just gone, here's the medal, what's the name, dropped it off. He doesn't, because he's like, oh, this might ruin things. This might make her like him again and shit like that. So, and then, of course, it obviously kicks the shit out of Miguel at the end of season two. So.
He's the most probably a gray area character.
Yeah, that's,
you're constantly trying to decipher what his true motivations and nature are. Like, he flashes both sides at times. You know, it's really the Cobra Kai, the Miyagi Do, which sides he fall into at any given time. And you know, you can see with him that tug of war. And I think season three will be a lot of that as to how he
goes. I think for a character like him, your sort of ultimate end game would almost be, you know, are you going to be Miyagi-Do karate? Are you going to be karate, Cobra Kai karate? I think that sort of character, like his arc was, should really kind of end with him being like, no, I'm not going to do either. I'm going to be something else, you know?
And like, I don't know if that doesn't play into something where, you know, Daniel and Johnny do something new, where there is a new venture that it's not, you know,
these two things are not working. We need to do something all together.
That's the long-term resolution of can you know, you're looking at the relationship between Johnny and Daniel, between Robbie and Samantha, you know, how Robbie reacts to what happened to Miguel, you know, that could be a big thing, you know, plot point is how that emotionally impacts him, because we've seen him want to be good, and does doing something like that cause him to go off the rails, or does it refocus him? You know, there's a lot of ways they can play this character, but in the end, you know, how he rebuilds and how the other relationships go are kind of going to be the story of the next few seasons. But like
what you guys are talking about now leads to a fact that can I give out an award real quick?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I got to give out the shoehorn award or the crowbar award.
Okay.
For taking a bottle episode and shoving it as hard as you possibly can into a season. And that's episode 6 of season 2, Take a Right, where he brings back the entire Cobra Kai crew now nearing the deathbed. And if you're going to talk about complexity of relationships, no one else in the entire show interacts with any of these guys.
No, but there's a reason behind that. Do you know that? You know that Tommy in the show, you know how he's dying? And they're like, this is his last day. Yeah, that guy is actually dead now.
Oh, serious? Thanks for bringing us down. No, hey, really?
Yeah.
Was he dying?
Had like, yeah. They're like, oh, he looks like shit. Good makeup.
So wait a second. Was that part of the reason why they wanted to get him on?
I think so. I think that was part of it as well. Like, wouldn't it be great if we could do this? It's like, yeah, but I can't think of his name. It's Garrison or something, the guy's name. But yeah, he has like, they said he passed away in 2019 after like liver and kidney issues or something like that. So I don't know if he had cancer or not, but obviously he was terminally ill. It did seem a bit out of place, but then when you look back at it, it's kind of like, oh, okay, all right. So those characters, for instance, like Johnny and that, they're like, well, we got sort of like one last road trip.
It's like Bobby, Tommy, Jimmy.
Yeah.
They got all like, they have all the Y names.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny, Bobby, Tommy, Jimmy.
He apparently, looking at his Wikipedia, he'd wanted to have a bigger arc in season 3 and then got sick. So that may be.
Yeah.
Now, I was digging it, especially because if you don't know, Jared and I come from the motorcycle world. We've jumped up on a bike or two on our time and rode off. And man, I'm like, oh, okay, let's see where they go with this. So it's a little bit Wild Hogs. Like, and then it's then right from Wild Hogs, it turns right into Roadhouse.
Yeah.
But what's funny is it's like, you know, this is not the 80s where that shit's flying where you got cops all over and people do that. It's like Daniel LaRusso kicks a cup out of some dude's hand and he's got lawsuits up the ass for the next 6 years. It's like that's not just people walking away. Oh my God, that was the Karate Kid. Mm. No, that's not happening anymore. Like you've got a successful dealership. That's my dealership now. Nice try for emotional stress.
Yeah,
I can't hold a coffee the same way again.
See, originally I saw reactions to that episode sort of go from one point and then down into the valley and then back up again. Because obviously, like, Tommy is the guy in the movie that's like, get him a body bag.
Yeah.
And the final shot of that episode
is him being
zipped up in the body bag. So, one, it's a little bit like, really? Okay. And then, of course, since that guy has passed away since, it's a little bit
dark. Crass.
Maybe, but if you look at it from the sense of like, well, that character though, like that kid is this kid at the tournament. He's screaming out for body bags and he's so eager to see people hurt and maimed and things like that. But then his story arc, all of that you sort of get in this one 30-minute episode, really, is that he kind of grew up to be this, like, sensitive, caring guy. And at the end of the day, he kind of accepted his fate and, you know, took it like a champ with his old friends and sort of went out the way he wanted. So the body bag thing kind of is almost like a full circle type of thing. Like, it was once this symbol for him of, like, yeah, fucking put him in a body bag. But it sort of became, you know, his thing, and it helped him kind of, I don't know, become a better person or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I've sort of seen different opinions on that. It can be a little bit sort of not controversial, but you know what I mean? Like, I think it went from sort of a little bit cheesy to almost like, ooh, I don't know if they should have done that, because obviously the guy has actually died since. So, and it's not like he got hit by a bus or something. Like, he was actually sick.
Yeah, but
as well. So it's a little, almost a little bit WWE. Like, that's something they'd do. Really, they would.
Eventually, everybody who's died in the film will eventually die, Greg.
Yes, but do you shoot a scene of a person who is legitimately dying, terminally ill, dying of a terminal illness, and zipping him up in a body bag to make a joke from a movie 35 years ago?
But you know what? If that's what he wanted, I think, because he expressed interest in being involved, it's fine.
I don't have a problem with it. I think there's a lot of these pussies out there that are like, it's fucking, that's not right. Like, get over it. But I think it was funny to see the way, like, people loved it. Then they were like, oh, turned off on it. And then they sort of went back to it and they thought about it.
My favorite part of that piece is, one, I love the road trip and then going out on your own terms. But I do love the anti-millennial hipster grab of the ear gauge and the rip out of his ear.
I thought that was fantastic.
I love all the anti-millennial shit in the show. It's just the whole...
It's so bad. Like, when he just reaches through and just yanks. I don't think there's been a person who didn't grow up pre-1985 or something that doesn't look at that and go, I just want to rip that out of his head.
Yeah. I think they did the Cobra Kai reunion pretty well. Like, I think they handled it. I don't think it needed to be more than it was. Like, I think it was cool to kind of see them all kind of sitting around the campfire being like, yeah, we used to be like pieces of shit, you know, but like, we've all grown up now and we're kind of
doing different things.
And when Johnny says, oh, I brought back Cobra Kai, they're all kind of like, really? Okay. Like, you know, but I'm doing something good with it. And they're like, oh, good, because fucking Kreese, like, he, you know, he made us all pieces of shit. So.
Yeah. It was like a therapy session where they're trying to figure out how bad their past decisions made him.
Mm. And the one guy, like I said, that Butch that's not in the show, they talk about him. He's in jail.
He's up. Yeah.
He was the one fucking real psychopath. Like, the rest of them were just led astray. Whereas he was like, no, I want to fucking kill people. Before we move on again, I do just want to talk a little bit more about the younger characters, like the next gen Karate Kids. Like, you spoke about Miguel before. Mateo, like, him sort of going from the awkward kid to tough guy and almost bully kind of thing. Another part of the show where I thought wouldn't work would be the whole, like, relationship with Samantha LaRusso, and then they break up and they sort of both pair off again. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a little bit too teen drama angsty for me, but I thought it sort of worked well enough. I think they do enough of it without it going overboard. You know, do you think... Yeah,
I don't know. The Tori character didn't really do a ton on screen. I thought that one was more forced. I thought the Robbie Samantha one worked a lot better with the story. I think Tori just seemed kind of shoehorned in to have a female villain in this.
She did seem not to the same degree, but I was a little bit the same with her as Robbie, because I thought, okay, this is just going to be the new bad girl, tough girl, whatever, just to be like a character that gets in the way of the other two. But I don't know, I thought they sort of wrote her pretty well. Like, she wasn't just like the stereotypical like villain. She was like, well, I've had a shit life and now I beat people up, you know?
Isn't she the one that comes out of the whole Disney? Like, I've looked her up before for this. She's like, she's had like years and years of work on television.
Well, no, she was Samantha Spider-Man. Had two.
Oh, and what else?
The one who plays Samantha was on. She had a long-term role on Body of Proof. But what was funny is I've been watching Criminal Minds, because that's just kind of the background show we put on. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've seen, it was like, hey, wait a second, that looks like from Samantha from Karate Kid. And it was. And then Kreese showed up. And it's like, okay, they're kind of everywhere now. Funny. But what's funny is they're
Samantha's
both older than
first voice credit is in 1994. How old is this kid?
She's 24. She's 24. And then the one who plays Tori is like 22.
Some of them are so old they can't even be on their parents' insurance anymore, and they're playing high school kids. How old is
that's Miguel? Ralph Macchio was like 25.
Miguel's 19. Miguel's 19 now, so he was legitimately
okay.
Like
he
17.
Was born in 01. All right,
well, he'd be loving this show. Then he'd be like, oh, really? Oh, this girl and that girl.
but Robbie's 21. Most of them they're on the show drinking, and they can legally drink.
Yeah, well, but Ralph Macchio is like 25 or something when he was in The Karate Kid. It's just because he looked young. So
they've done that forever. 58 now. Yeah. So he would have been 23 when it came out. So
yeah.
Yeah. But Ralph Macchio also doesn't look like he's 58 right now. So
no, that's right. He's older now than Mr. Miyagi was in the first movie.
That's what somebody said, and I saw that. It's like how old he was.
Yeah, but in general, I thought the younger characters were good. Like they weren't. I thought like, oh, this will just be kind of the thing you have to sit through just to get to the Johnny Lawrence, Daniel LaRusso thing. Like for the other people that are watching it, but I had no problem with any of it. I thought the build up over two seasons with the tournament and then the warring sort of factions that through season two, and then you have this like massive all out fucking high school brawl, like as sort of weird and kind of over the top that it was, I still thought it worked pretty well. I thought it was exciting to watch. You know, they're chasing each other through the gym and
yeah, but hallways and stuff. At the same time, I'm thinking of this like, oh, those kids are getting totally expelled. There's none of them are allowed back anymore.
Okay, I gotta say it. I love the choreography. But didn't it feel just like watching Peter Griffin and the chicken fight all across the episode?
It was a little bit. They're like, this is still going. And like people are just running in from nowhere. It's like, what the
fuck? I'm looking at my watch going, how long are these people going to fight?
Yeah, where are security like and all the teachers? Like this is taking far too long to get under control. And
well, then that's why they needed Stingray.
Yeah, and then as soon as I saw the staircase, I knew what was going down.
Yeah. And I know, okay, so I got to interject here. We're going to run to it. How many shows have had that 15-second fall?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, fall. Okay, fall.
You know what, Mateo, after we – because Mateo and I talked about this yesterday, and I went back. It's Hans Gruber. That's the fault.
That's
what it is. That's what it is. It's just totally falling off the top of
arm wave, arm wave, leg wave.
It's like, cool. Okay, this is a one story drop, and it's taking longer than it did to fall off Nakatomi Plaza.
God. What do you think about that though? With
how many minutes? I'm trying to check to see how many minutes that fight took.
Oh, it's got to be like 10 minutes, easy. But it cut back and forth with other things happening in the show, but it's got to be at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It starts at 23 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, 23-minute fight.
Well, there's about 10 minutes at the end where they're all, you know. What do you think about like Miguel being in hospital and that? Were you surprised that they left that hanging for season 3? Or because I was like, he'll wake up in the end of the second. Like,
no, I figured they'd leave a cliffhanger like that.
I mean, I don't think anyone really thinks that he's going to die, but
but could he be paralyzed? Is that something, you know?
Well, if they have any balls, that's what they'll do. They'll have him. He wakes up, but he's paralyzed. And now you've got an actual consequence to all this fucking karate.
Which
business.
Also seems like another 80s movie, TV show trope is somebody getting paralyzed.
Well,
you know, but he comes back. He's paralyzed, but then he goes through therapy.
Gets a special brace for his knee, and then he can fight Bane.
No. Guys, just rubbing the hands together.
Yes, there you go. Daniel will meditate for the whole of season three, and at the end, he'll be like...
The mom doesn't want to see Johnny anymore. Yeah. He tosses the keys. He's taking off. I go for my first prediction on season three. Mm-hmm. The only way to make it happen is that Johnny and Daniel have to join forces.
I could see that. Yep. Enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing. Like,
oh yeah. I think they're going to come together to realize because of, you know, that we can't have these kids under the influence of Kreese.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big thing. And then, you know, getting to that point is what's going to be the plot line, just because he's the villain. And then, you know, and it's going to be him and Hawk and how that plays out, you know. But it's interesting because at the time
they three words, physical therapy montage.
Oh my God.
He'll be back.
Yep.
And that's when they pull the song out.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
We got to be waiting. You're waiting for that piece of gold.
Oh, I thought you were going for South Park. We're going to need a montage.
That entire episode of South Park is making fun of this entire gimmick. How many times have they been like, we're going to train someone up and make them great in one episode.
Yeah. Rocky, it's been done for, yeah.
It is the beauty. It's the beauty of 80s troping that you can grab him and in one episode, we can bring him all the way back on his feet.
Well, like we said, like John Avildsen, he directed Rocky and The Karate Kid. So like, you know,
because they're all
there's a reason why you get that guy to.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was also an Iron Eagle 2 connection with him watching it so much.
Well, Tommy from Cobra Kai that died, he was in Iron Eagle.
Oh, there's always a connection.
Yeah.
I mean, were there only so many actors available back in the 80s?
Pretty much.
I mean, we're all using the same people.
It was like Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, all the kids from The Outsiders, like Tom Cruise, all those guys. Like, they all come from that Outsiders movie. Even Macchio's in that. So, like we said, stay gold, Pony Boy.
Stay gold. I see a lot happening. I mean, Robbie took off because, of course, he's guilty of attempted murder.
Yeah. Kreese has got control of the dojo, and Johnny's kind of thrown it all away. And he gets the friend request from Allie, so I don't know if that's going to go anyway.
Yeah, okay. I loved that, at least, because I'm like, where is she at? You got to bring her back, at least, for all the cameos she's ever done on every other movie.
Yeah. I was going to say, she's busy with the boys over on the...
Oh, that's right.
With Homelander and all those guys.
I wonder if they can even get her off of Amazon Prime.
Well, don't know.
Or are they just, what do you think? You clip, put together clips or just use her voice?
I could see that being like, because them talking about her and him sending her a message and all that. And he sort of sent it by accident because he got bumped. And he sort of hits send and all that, like Johnny. And then at the end, he throws his phone away. So his phone's on the beach. And then it comes up with the little, Allie has sent you a friend request. If that could just be like, well, and nothing comes of that because it's like missed opportunity type of thing. It's like, well, you don't have to follow up on that. It's almost like, look what might have happened if you hadn't thrown your phone away because you let Kreese back into your life.
I don't care what happens in your life. You don't throw the keys away to a challenger that looks that badass.
But it's Cobra Kai, it represents everything he hates now. But yeah, but I mean, I thought going like as we sort of wrap up, like the show in general did a good job of bringing back that Karate Kid feeling, obviously, and then like the nostalgia, and they're able to take the characters and kind of move them forward. It wasn't just like they aren't 100% the same characters that they were, but that's what you should do with sequels and sort of ongoing story and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm super keen for season three, whenever that happens.
Supposedly so, next year.
Yeah.
And just to touch on the Allie thing, Elizabeth Shue has been kind of apathetic to the idea of coming back. So who knows?
Come on. It's not for you. It's for the fans. Okay. Yeah. I got to ask you guys, if another 80s movie could be transformed, you could see what happened to the characters, what would it be?
Breakfast Club.
Oh, nice. What happens now?
With the whole, you know.
Like, yeah.
Goonies.
Yeah.
Goonies. Goonies would probably be hilarious because Goonies has great, as has some actors that kind of developed into other people as they grew up and did other movies.
Well, we saw Bill and Ted, so I can't do that one.
I still haven't seen it.
Breakfast Club and Goonies would probably be, yeah, I think that could be done. Especially now, because that was the thing with Goonies. Oh, no one wants to see these guys now. They haven't done anything forever. It's like, well, most of them are still around, you know, Sean Astin and Thanos, you know. But like now with this Cobra Kai thing being huge, I think now you will start to see like, well, what else
What would you reboot? Yeah.
Well, not even a reboot, but just, well, like you said, like Breakfast Club. Okay, you see the end of the Breakfast Club. Are they going to be friends again on Monday or...
You'd call it like dinner party.
Yeah. And they all get back together or what? Well, they're all turning up to the high school, dropping their kids off at detention. And they're like, oh, hey, I know you. You're that guy.
Goes off
in a way. Yeah. So I don't know.
It would have to be a high school reunion flick.
Well, that's Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's definitely Breakfast Club. Eh. Do you really want to see Molly Ringwald now on camera? Ducky, he's still doing stuff. Who else is out there that's a good character you'd want to bring back? And dead air. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a few, but I think they're the two off the top. Well, Breakfast Club was the first thing that came to my mind, and then Jared, you said Goonies, but that'd be cool.
No, it'd be sad, because wouldn't that dude be dead? Another one?
Who?
No.
He's not in the Goonies.
The monster guy.
Oh, who cares? He just dressed someone up as him. No, that gives a fuck. The only one that's dead is, what's her name?
Real Genius would be hilarious. Oh, wait, they did that. It's called Silicon Valley. you know what? It almost feels like now that I'm like Pretty in Pink, it's all the same movie.
Home Alone. He's just some 40-year-old guy sitting there.
still alone.
They could turn that into like Straw Dogs or whatever. It's like, you know, they break into his house and beat him up. He's like, you don't know who you're fucking with. You know, like, well, I used to fuck these people up when I was 8 years old. Like, what do you think is going to happen now that I'm 50? Look out.
Really, really, it ends up being a Family Guy cutaway. That's all the time you need to redo that entire show.
There you go.
You need the 30 seconds of a Family Guy cutaway and you see him walking in the door.
Oh, that'd be
great. Walked into the wrong house.
Yeah. But having said that, I'm keen. I enjoyed Cobra Kai. I'm keen to see more, hopefully, especially that they are not afraid to sort of break up the status quo. Like we said, like you get at the end of season one, like Kreese is back and you're like, oh shit, okay. And then end of season two, Kreese is taken over. And like we said, they're all separated and Miguel's in the hospital and Johnny's doesn't know where he's going. And so I think it would be fun to see Daniel and Johnny have to team up to take on sort of Kreese and stuff like that. So.
You know what, Greg? I got to pull back for a second here. Mm-hmm. I just looking at IMDb's top 20 80s flicks, and most all of them except – actually, number one is The Breakfast Club, only one that really hasn't been redone. Mm. Every other movie on here has been redone. Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2 – Star Wars, Star Trek, E.T., Dirty Dancing, Platoon, Princess Bride. Every one of them has been copied and redone. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
We
still have another indie film coming.
Poor indie.
Yeah.
Poor indie.
Okay. Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the late onset radiation poison.
Labyrinth. Didn't Labyrinth get a re-kick?
They were going to, but I don't think.
Crystal they something have, that they did. Bill and Ted Top Gun isn't and
well, Top Gun all, is
Top Gun's getting remade.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything on this list that makes me so sad. I'm down to number 26, Footloose. Didn't that get that got redone?
They did a remake of
Poltergeist, Desperately Seeking Susan. Holy crap, the only other thing on this list that hasn't been redone is Splash. Unless you consider Aquaman.
Wow, that's something to look forward to. Splash 2, Electric Boogaloo.
And could you remake Risky Business?
Yeah, you could.
Isn't that Wolf of Wall Street? Basically, what happens when he gets older? What do you
No, yeah. Wrong Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. Wrong Tom Cruise. Oh. Ouch, that's pretty funny. It turns into Eyes Wide Shut. Anyway.
Oh, I was going to the wrong 80s one, but sure, we can go with that
too.
Oh.
Let's roll with that. There's a good place to leave it with secret mask meetings. Yeah. all right. Well, yeah, we hope the listeners have enjoyed Cobra Kai and are looking forward to season 3 like we are. But until then, you can follow us all on Twitter. Our show is at Unfunny and Tangent. I'm at GregT13. Jared is at SuperJuice75. Matteo, you're at Matt_Morales. And of course, all roads lead to at The Steel Cage and UnfunnyNerdTangent.com, where you can use our affiliate links to Amazon and WWE and help Josh out, keep the lights on. If you want more opinions on the original Karate Kid movie, it was part of my 40 for 40, so that article is still on the UNT website as well. If you want to see why Johnny is still a villain of that movie. but you can also send us an email to unt@thesteelcage.com and we'll have a look and read it on the show. And if you've got a drinking game out there that applies to our podcast, by all means, email it to us and we'll read it out and that'll be fun.
We're going to watch Steel Magnolias again and drink to that one.
Also head to thesteelcageshop.com and buy one of about 1,000 t-shirts that we have from the network, but especially Mon Milfma, because you know she's the best around. There you go, Matt. That's all we have for episode 104 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. As always, thanks so much for listening, and remember, kids, change that ringtone, get some Guns N' Roses or something. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Unfunny Nerd Tangent.